Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're beginning a new study tonight. It's dealing with ministry. I'm actually calling this Understanding Ministry, and it's either, to be honest with you, it's going to be 10 or 11 lessons. And basically, we've got 10, I think we've only got 10 weeks until we start back with CBI. So it could be, as we do this, I might have to put two lessons together over these weeks. But anyway, it'll be a lot of fun. We have a great privilege as a child of God that we get to serve the living God. We as human beings are allowed to be instruments for the all-powerful Creator God. Think about that. It's amazing. Not only saves us, but He gives us, He empowers us so that we can serve Him. And we have the privilege and responsibility to serve Him. So we're servants. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We're to be faithful. This evening, we're going to look at a study that I said I'm going to be calling Understanding Ministry, Our Ministry for Christ. How do we serve God? What is ministry? What are we supposed to do? What are some key aspects to serving God? And it's going to take us some weeks to go through some of these. What we want to do is hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so what are the things that we want to do so that'll happen? And these next weeks we'll see all that as we seek to understand ministry. Let's start with a prayer and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank you for each one that is here. What a fun time, Lord, to come together with fellow believers. Thank you, Lord, that I got to go on vacation, but Lord, thank you that we get to come back and be here and be a part of this church and be in ministry and with all the believers here who love you and want to know your word and want to grow and want to make an impact. Lord, the goal, of course, is that we serve you and live for you and that we understand ministry and how it functions and what we're to do. So, Lord, we just ask you that you'll teach us now as we study. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we find this great truth about Jesus Christ. He said he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. Jesus Christ gave us the key to his life and that to his life and ministry and that servanthood. That's the key. We understand it's God's plan for us that we become more and more like Christ. In fact, that's one of the things where he's conforming us to the image of his son. Well, if he is a servant, then we're to be servants. And you remember Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, where it says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Jesus Christ said, if you want to be great for God, you have to be a servant. If we're going to be like Jesus Christ, we have to be servants. We have to serve and minister. And so this evening, we want to think about being a servant for God. We want to think about ministry. And we want to have an understanding of ministry on what we have to do and so that we can hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I said, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 2. He just gives a statement. It is a famous verse. We've taught this verse many times. All of you, we all know it, but it says this. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy or one be found faithful. This verse gives us a powerful truth. As you get the flow of the passage, of course, he's writing to these believers and he's telling them, here's what you're supposed to do. It's required. It is the thing that is expected. And so the idea here is God requires of those who belong to him. Well, what is it he requires? If you notice, it says it is required of stewards that you be found faithful. The idea is to be a faithful steward. Let's think about that for just a second. I think the first word is the word idea for steward, and a steward literally means one who serves. The idea of being set apart and responsibility, a steward, I think there's another slide, a steward was a person who was given a trust, given a responsibility. In that day and time, if you talked about a steward, it was a person sometimes in a household who had the responsibility that the master or the head of that household would come in and say, okay, this, you're in charge of this. You take care of this. You run this. Sometimes it was property. Sometimes it was people, all those kind of things. So that's what a steward is a person who's been given a trust. He says more is required of stewards. That's us. That's what we are. We have a responsibility from God. We've been given this trust. We've been given this responsibility. Well, what is it? We're ministers, we're his servants, we're his representatives, we serve God, or God serves through us, you might put it that way. So the key as a believer is that we've been given a trust, we're stewards. And then he says, here's the key. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful or trustworthy. And that's the key, found faithful, found trustworthy. Literally, the word could be to be faithful. To do what we're supposed to do. I think when you think about ministry, that is the key. We're to be faithful servants of Jesus Christ. We're to be faithful servants of those who belong to him. How do we do this? What's the keys? How can we be faithful servants? And I've got some things when we look at the slides in a minute on sort of the things we're going to look at as we go through. I think you'll see some great things. Realize that when you think of ministry, this is the key. Now, we live in a culture that people think ministry is doing good if you have a lot of people coming, or if you have excitement, or if you've got this or this. But God doesn't judge things on numbers. He doesn't judge things on people's excitement. He doesn't judge if people are entertained or not. He judges on faithfulness. That's the key for all of us. It is not success, numbers, fame, power, or honor, but faithfulness. God has given to each one of us gifts, talents, and abilities, and that He said to each one of us, take the gifts, talents, and abilities that I have given to you, and you use them for my glory, for His glory, and we got to be faithful to do that. And so it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if a guy is serving, and I've got a good friend, well, all of you know him, is Dale Bob McFerrin. He's been in Slovenia for a number of years. Sometimes he'll write me, and he and I are pretty close, and he comes about once a summer, and he spends about 3 days with me, and he and I talk, and he says, you know, JB, I've been there for years, and sometimes you just don't see much. But the key, I said, the key, Dale Bob, is what? Aren't you faithful? He's faithful to do what God has for him to do, and that is the key. Regardless of our gifts, talents, and abilities, regardless of where God has placed us, regardless of the responsibilities, the key is to be faithful. And so he says, in his case, moreover, it is required, it is expected of stewards, those who are servants, that one be faithful. For each of us who know Jesus Christ, we're to serve Him. We're to be faithful servants of Christ as we fulfill our responsibility as those who are ambassadors for Christ. Now, for the next weeks, and it's going to be, it looks like if we just take one a week, it's going to take us 9 or 10 to 11 weeks, but we'll probably try to keep it all within 10 weeks. We're going to see a number of key aspects involved in ministry. We're calling this understanding ministry. Let me give you the outline for the study, okay? I've got it right here just so you can see it. First part is, and we'll see all of this tonight. First part is ministry. What is ministry? We're going to raise these questions. What is ministry? What is our ministry? How do we minister? And we're going to talk about faithfulness in ministry because we just mentioned that. Then part two of the study, because this part one is tonight. Part two is we're going to look at 10 keys to ministry. And we're going to try to take a key a week. And it could be that maybe we group a couple of them together. But over the next, we're going to look at 10 different key areas that I think are the keys to ministry, for things to be done the way God wants them to be done, and that we can be successful and faithful in that sense. And then we'll end it by putting a summary and our response to all of these things. So that's the key. Let's start with the first key question, and that is, what is ministry? I mean, what is ministry? Often when we think of the word ministry, we think of someone who does something. Like we say, what about ministry? And we think about somebody like who's a pastor or a minister. You say, this person's a minister. And they say, oh yeah, he's a ministry, like he's a pastor. Well, sometimes when you hear the word ministry and we say, what is your ministry, or what is our ministry, or what is ministry, we think of maybe a person who has a job like a pastor or a missionary. But the bottom line is, you know, in fact, when you think about it, people say when a person gets fired up, they say, are you going to go into the ministry? And we got men who go off to seminary and they say, yeah, I'm going to go in the ministry. But the truth is this, we're all in ministry. God has given to every believer the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to see that a little bit later on. But we're all in service for Christ. In fact, when we start talking about ministry, the idea of ministry is service. And so that's the idea, our service for Jesus Christ. Every one of us in this room are ministers. Every one of this room are servants. We have ministry. We have responsibilities. Now, we're going to look at in just a minute what exactly is our ministry, because he actually tells us that we all have a particular ministry. Now, there's different ways that we do that ministry, but we all have a particular ministry. Let's think about it. Both in the Old Testament and New Testament, that idea there are service. Literally, ministry is service. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, the words for ministry really mean to serve. In the Old Testament, that word sometimes meant service or work. It had the idea of one who serves for God. The priests were servants of God. They had this. In fact, when you get to the New Testament, there's a Greek word that is spiritual service. You remember in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. That's one Greek word, which is the idea of serving God, doing something in a spiritual aspect. That's what ministry really is. All of us are spiritual servants in that sense. The most famous, probably, New Testament word that people think about is diakone, which we get the word deacon, which means one who serves. The word originally meant someone who raised up dust. because they were waiters. They were waiters and waitresses. They were people who waited on people, and they would be in places, and they would take things back and forth, and as they walked on the dirt floors, dust would come up behind them, and they recall the ones who raised up dust, the diakones, which became known as the servants, and then we took the word diakones and made the word deacon out of it, which it literally means a servant. So the basic meaning of ministry is our service for Jesus Christ. And so if we just start off with the first question, what is ministry? Literally, it is our service for Jesus Christ. So all of us are in the ministry. All of us are to serve Jesus Christ. That gives us to the second question, and that is, what is our ministry? Of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 1. Now, we looked at verse 2 a while ago. We're doing it a little bit unique because sometimes, most of the time you go verse 1 and then verse 2. We're going to do it a little bit backwards tonight. We're going to look at verse 1. He talks, when we talk about what is our ministry, notice this. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And as we think about this passage, we see how people are to regard us, how we want other people to look at us. And notice he said, let a man regard us in this manner. This is how we want the rest of the believers. This is how we want the rest of the world to see us. And it's really twofold. Notice, servants, a servant and steward, our servants and stewards. We are to be, notice, servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, when we think about servants, that's what we are. We must live each day realizing we belong to Jesus Christ. We're His servants. And this is, we have a ministry of serving God as we serve others. I think that too often we wake up in the morning and we say, wonder what's in it for me today? What am I going to get today? What's going to happen for me today? Well, we should wake up and say, Lord, my life is yours. What do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do you want my life to count for you? Because we need to be regarded as servants of Christ. And then he says, of course, the second word is stewards. And we mentioned that word a while ago. Steward has the idea of a servant, but it's also a person who has different responsibilities. But notice what this passage says. Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And whenever you see the word mystery, most of the time it's something that had not been revealed in the past but is now made known. And sometimes a better way of looking at the word is a mystery in the Bible is something that a man could not have known unless God had revealed it. And what I think when he talks about the mysteries of God, I think he's talking about the whole issue of salvation and the Christian life and end time events and security and all of these things. Because the truth is, if you left it to man to come up with a salvation plan, what would it be? It works. It always is. Every time. Every religion that you see in the world, and the world is full of religions, it's all man doing something to get to God. The mystery of God is that salvation is not what man does for God. It's what God does for man. That's a mystery to mankind in that sense. And the whole issue of security and that, you're saved and saved forever. It is amazing to me how many people have never grasped the issue of security. That they'll say something like, well, I believe in Jesus, but you know, you could lose it, or maybe I could quit believing, or I could do this. I have a person write me while I was going on vacation, but they wrote email to me and said that it was a girl that used to go to church here, and she says she's talking with this girl, and this girl says, I trusted Christ when I was younger, but now I don't believe any of this. And so the girl writes me and says, JB, I always thought, isn't it true that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and you're saved forever? So when she says this, she still has eternal life. She may not want it. She may not even talk about it. But isn't that true? And of course, I wrote her back and said, of course it is, that when you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. And the moment you trust Him, John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, hears my word and believes Him who sent me, has, present tense, eternal life, will not come into condemnation, never, but have passed from death to life. So it's a great, great passage. And bottom line is, when a person believes in Christ, listen, the mystery is, you're saved forever. It's not based on you. It's not based on your faithfulness. Isn't that good to know? Those are mysteries and the future things of what God's going to do and how Jesus is going to come and going to come in the clouds and take us out, and He's going to come to the earth and set up a kingdom and all of these kind of things. Those are all mysteries. And so he says, let a person regard us. Let people regard us in this manner. Let them see us this way, as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, let's get specific for a second. What exactly is our ministry? Because this is our question. So let's get specific. Specifically, our ministry is to tell about His plan of reconciliation. Every one of us in this room have the ministry of reconciliation. We all get to tell people about how God has reconciled man to himself. I want you to see this because it's one of the greatest passages in the Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's verses, of course, 18 and 19 and 20 are three of great verses. In fact, if you actually just said 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, I think is the greatest passage in the Scripture on reconciliation. And if you said, you know, I'd like a passage. I don't want to get into bogged down. I don't want to study a whole book of the Bible. I don't think I could do that right now, but I would like a passage to study that I could just dig. Then I would say, okay, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, start at verse 17 and go through 21. You will be amazed at what you see. Now, what exactly is our ministry? Specifically, it is to tell people about his plan of reconciliation. He says, therefore, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God. Verse 18, watch. Here's what God has done. He reconciled us to himself through Christ. I'm going to stop there for a second because I'm going to get you the rest of the verse in a second. But you hear people talk about, especially when you, if you take the 2:2 or the 4:12 or something, we'll talk about what's the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. The story of the Bible is reconciliation. God reconciling man to himself using Jesus Christ. That's the plan. Notice this verse. God reconciled us to himself through Christ. That's the story of the Bible. He says all these things are from God. He's done what? He's reconciled us. He's brought us to himself. Notice, God didn't come to us. We came back to God through Christ. Now, the issue of reconciliation, that whole thing, Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, paid for sin. All who believe in him are brought back into an eternal relationship. But notice the key. God reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then what did he do? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us this ministry. We have as our ministry that telling people what God has done. We get to go out and tell people how God has brought man back to himself using Christ. That's the story of the Bible. People get all confused and they talk about the Bible and how big and all it is. And it is huge. I mean, 66 books and Old Testament and New Testament, all these different things in there. But the bottom line is the Bible is this perfect God is bringing sinful man back to himself through his son. And that's what we get to tell people, the ministry of reconciliation. So notice, he says, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, he goes through it again. He doesn't want us to miss it. He wants us to grasp it. And he says, namely, let me say it clearly. He says, namely, listen to this. God was in Christ. God was using Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. Same story, perfect God, sinful man, bringing him back to himself, using his son, Jesus Christ. And it says, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses. Now, that means God does not count our sins. How many of us in this room are sinners? Where are our sins? Where? They're gone. They're on Christ. It's not counting our trespasses against us. God didn't go to the record book and go, JB, you have 100,000 sins. No, I don't. They've all been put on Christ. There aren't any sins on my record book. In fact, on my record book is the perfect righteousness of God, which was given to me when I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Powerful. He says, namely, God was in Christ, using Jesus, reconciling the world, bringing man back to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And then notice, remember what he said earlier? He said he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Look what he says here. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, the word committed means to deposit. He's given, deposited to us the word of reconciliation. The word there, of course, means message. He's deposited to each of us the message of reconciliation. So when you want to get specific of what is the ministry that we have. Now, we know ministry is serving God. Then what exactly is our ministry? It is the ministry of reconciliation, which we who have been brought back to God through Jesus Christ and have trusted in him, they have been deposited to us the opportunity to tell people about God's plan of reconciliation. And he gives us the charge in the following verse 20. He says, therefore, since all this is true, since we've been reconciled to God, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, since we've been brought back to God, and He's committed to us the word of reconciliation, therefore, we are what? Ambassadors. Christ ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are servants of Jesus Christ. We represent Him. Our ministry is to be representatives of Christ on this earth, telling others how God has reconciled us. It is that simple. It really is that simple. And there's so much more. I mean, we're talking, there's so much deeper in things. But when you just sit down and say, what is the ministry of the believers on this earth that He's left us here? We want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. We already know that that's one of the keys, to be faithful. He says, here's what I've done. I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. You get to tell people how I put this whole thing out. I'm bringing mankind back to myself through Jesus. You get to tell them. Now, we're here to proclaim Jesus Christ. And sometimes there's confusion. See, sometimes people really push their church. We got to really talk about our church. Sometimes people push their denomination. Sometimes they push a ministry. Sometimes they push a speaker. They'll say, have you heard this person? This is the key. This is the key. This denomination, this and this. No, no. What's the key? Jesus Christ is the key. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 5. For we do not preach what? Ourselves. We're not here to talk about us. But who? Jesus Christ as Lord. Listen, when we go out these doors, now it's nothing wrong with telling people how to go to Countryside, we'd love to come to Countryside, we got a great church, we love. But the issue when you go out these doors and we're talking to people in this community is not about a church, a denomination, a ministry, a minister. It is Jesus. He's the key. He's everything. And so He says, we're not preaching ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. We're not here to preach ourselves. We're not here to talk about ourselves. We're here to talk about Jesus. That's the bottom line. And any time in a ministry, if the ministry is focused on a particular person, if the ministry is focused on a particular event, they're missing the mark. The whole thing is Jesus. That's the bottom line. So we've seen that we are servants, that we're servants of Christ. That takes us to the third thing. See, how do we minister? How do we do it? Well, John 15 tells us very clearly, the key is not us. It is God through us. See, people say things like, let go and let God. Well, that doesn't work. And people say, I got to do it. That doesn't work either. It's the combination idea of it is my life being used by my God in His power, that I am faithfully living every day with the gifts, talents, and abilities that He's given to me. I'm going to use them for His glory. John 15 says, abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In Christ, you can do all things. That's the key. And so how do we do ministry? It's all Christ. It's His power through us. And that's why when we think about the Christian life and it's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's why Jesus told the guys, He says, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the power. He says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. He didn't send them out to be witnesses until they got the power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The moment any one of us believe in Jesus Christ, the moment we believe in Him, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us to empower us. It's God's power in us. Did we put Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, the one who strengthens me. So John 15, apart from Him, I can do nothing. In Christ, I can do all things. It's very powerful. In Romans, you don't have to turn there, but in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, it says, we serve in the newness of the Spirit. He's making a contrast between law and grace and law and the Spirit. Now, there's a confusion today, and a lot of us in this room have talked about this before. There's confusion because there are a lot of Christians who think that the key to the Christian life is the law, that you live under a law, you live under the Ten Commandments, or you live under these rules and restrictions, and that has never worked. What happens when you put yourself under law? What does law cause you to do? Causes you to sin. All you have to do is just put up a little sign, just cut a hole somewhere and say, do not look through this hole. And what will people do? They will look through the hole. Anytime there's a law, the flesh says, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what not to do. The Christian life has never been lived successfully under law. It's under grace and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we live the Christian life. It's God's power. We serve as ambassadors proclaiming His plan of reconciliation, which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Notice what I just said. It's God's power. We serve as ambassadors proclaiming His plan of reconciliation by faith in Jesus Christ. That simple. We must know that it's God's power in us and through us that enables us to be servants for Christ. That takes us to the final aspect, and that is faithfulness in ministry. Before you turn to Ephesians for a second, I want you to think about this. We mentioned earlier that in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, brethren, is required of stewards to be found faithful. To me, I think that is the most freeing aspect of ministry. Because when you think about ministry, and that means every one of us in this room have ministry, every one of us have gifts, every one of us have talents, every one of us have abilities. And there are some people that you look at and you go, they can do everything. Or they're really good at this, or they can do this. So good. And you look at them and you go, I'm not very good at that. That's okay. God didn't plan for you to be good at that. He planned for you to be good at something else. And what He says to you is, don't worry about them. You worry about you. Just be faithful. I always think about Peter, and right toward the end, we'll get it, you know, in John 21, and Jesus was telling him to feed the sheep and all this, and then he said, here's what's going to happen, Peter, and then he said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. In fact, if I'd like for him to be alive till I come back, what's that to you? And then it said that a rumor started that John was going to live till Jesus came back. Now, Jesus never said that, and John died in about 95, and he hadn't come back yet. But, you know, that's how that messes up. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, what's that to you? You just worry about what I've got for you to do. It is very comforting to know that you're not in a competition with any other Christian or any other person. You never have to be like another person because God made you unique and special with your own gifts, talents, and abilities. And He says that however I've made you, wherever I have put you, for whatever time I have put you, I just want you to be found faithful. Is that not freeing? You don't have to look around and say, I got to be like them, I got to be like them, I got to do like this. You don't have to do any of that. You just say, I got to be me. And I just want to live for Christ, and I just want to be faithful. And so faithfulness in ministry, look at Ephesians 6. Let's flip over there if you can. I love this verse, Ephesians 6:21. He's talking about a guy named Tychicus. And in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 6, let me give you this time to get over there. I want you to see how Paul describes this man. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he sent this letter by a man by the name of Tychicus. And he says, but that you may also know about my circumstances, how I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. He's basically saying, I'm sending Tychicus. He'll tell you everything's going on. But notice how he describes him. Tychicus, the beloved brother, the faithful minister. When you stand before Jesus Christ, what do you want to hear Him say? Well done, good and what? Faithful. I think you'll see all throughout the Scripture that the mark is faithfulness. That's why as we started this little message tonight, and we're almost to the end of this, and I want you to see some other things, but that's the key as we start thinking about how are we going to do ministry, and what is our ministry, and how do we do ministry, and what exactly is ministry, but the key is faithfulness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, Paul tells Timothy to fulfill your what? Ministry. Fulfill it. Do what you're supposed to do. And you know, Timothy had a different, I had that up there. Fulfill your ministry. Timothy had a different thing than Titus had to do, a different thing than Peter. You realize you look at Peter and Paul and you think, boy, Peter and Paul, two of the giants, two of the great ones. I mean, here was Peter, he was with Jesus all the time. Here's Paul, wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. They were different as night and day. Peter talked all the time. Peter talked and just said whatever came in his mind, and he was one of those guys that he's going full speed no matter what. It may be the wrong direction, but he's going full speed. I mean, one minute Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Great answer." And then Jesus says, "And now I'm going to Jerusalem and be killed." And Peter says, "We're not going to let that happen." He said, "Bad answer. That's not the answer I'm looking for." So one minute Peter's on top of it, and the next minute he's missed it. You look at Paul, and Paul's Mr. Organized. Everything is in order. That's his Pharisaic background and how he looked at life, and everything's got to fit, and there's got to be these five participles and this thing right here on how he puts his messages together. And yet, they're both gifted but different. And if Peter said, "I got to compare myself to Paul," he'd say, "You know, I only got to write how many letters? And Paul wrote 13. That's not fair." And Paul could say, "Yeah, but it wasn't fair because Peter got to be with Jesus the whole time and I didn't." See, you can't look at it that way. Fulfill the ministry that God has for us. So ministry is faithfully serving God in His power, proclaiming His plan by faith. That's our goal, to be faithful servants. Now, what I want to show you is in the coming weeks, we're going to look at 10 keys to ministry. Let me show you the 10 keys to ministry, and then we'll stop and break for prayer. Here's the first one. Now, look at it. I'm going to take a little bit of time to talk through these. You'll see it when we actually study it. The first one is this. The foundation. There's this foundation's motive, nature. Here, the foundation of ministry is character. The only way you're going to be able to do ministry is you have to have the foundation of being a person of character. If you're not a person of character, nobody's going to listen to you. It won't work. So the foundation of ministry is character. Number two, the motive of ministry is love. See, what drives you? The love of Christ constrains us. And that could be the love that Christ loves us with, or the love that we love Christ with. And there's the way you can't tell in the original language on what he's meaning. He's just saying love is the key. The motive of ministry is love. How about the nature of ministry is what? It's serving. That's what it's all about. We're going to see that. Look at number four. The measure of ministry is sacrifice. Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to what? Give his life. That's sacrifice. That's what the whole key. The authority. Now, this is an amazing one right here. The authority of ministry is what? Submission? Wait a minute. If you're going to have authority, you've got to be the boss. No, if any man wants to be great, he must become a what? A servant. God always humbles the what? The proud, and he always raises up the humble. You remember when the soldier said to Jesus, "If you'll just come," he said, "First of all, you don't even have to come. Just speak. I'm a man, what? Under authority? I'm under the authority of the Roman government. I just tell this soldier, do this, he has to do it. I know what authority is." He says, "Jesus, you're under the authority of the living God. All you have to do is speak, and my servant will be well." The authority of ministry is submission. We'll see it. Number six, the purpose of ministry is the glory of God. When it's all said and done, who gets all the glory all the time? He's got to. Let me ask you this. If you were to lead someone to Christ, can you get some glory? Why not? Because he did it. He brought the person into your life. Who is the Holy Spirit convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment? Who is he empowering? Who is the Holy Spirit convicting? I mean, it's all God. He gets all the glory. Number seven, the tools of ministry. Get this one. God's word and prayer. We're good on the word. We're not that good on the prayer. We got to use both tools, the Word of God and prayer. The results of ministry is growth. And when people hear that, what do they think? Numbers. We're not talking about numbers at all. We're talking about spiritual growth. The result of ministry is spiritual growth, not necessarily numerical growth. You know, a lot of times there is numerical growth. When people are growing as believers and they're leading other people to Christ and they're bringing them in and they're helping train and equip them, there may be numerical growth. But when the Bible talks about equipping the saints to do what? To do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ, is he talking about numbers there? He's talking about spiritual growth. The result of ministry is growth. The power of ministry is the Holy Spirit. That's what we talked about tonight. That how do you do the ministry? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And last but not least, the model of ministry is Christ. Be imitators of God as beloved children. He's the model. He's the model. Well, this evening we've seen the basics, the basic aspects dealing with ministry, and we raised some questions. What is ministry? Ministry is serving. We raised the second question. What are we to do? What is our ministry? We're to serve Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors. We're to tell others about His plan of reconciliation. The third question that we mentioned is, how do we do it? We do it God's power in and through us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the last thing is, what's our goal? And that's to be faithful, fulfilling our ministry. We're going to look in the weeks to come, 10 keys to ministry. We're going to focus on those in the next few weeks. But as you go back and you say, well, what is ministry? It's serving. What are we to do? We're to tell about God's plan of reconciliation. How do we do it? God's power in and through us. And what's the goal of this thing? To be found faithful. We want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me pray, and then we'll open up for any questions we have, and then we'll break into groups for a break for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank You for these truths, Lord, as we think about ministry. And Lord, as You've allowed us to be Your servants and be left on this earth, and Lord, we know that ministry is just serving You. And we know that our ministry is to tell of the great plan of reconciliation, that You've given us that ministry. Lord, we know that we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the ultimate goal is that we'd be faithful with the thing of You being getting all the honor and all the glory. And Lord, when we stand before You one day, we just want to hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. Use us, Lord, for Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.